Hello. Hi, this is Yolanda.
Hello, it's Bob Kramer.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Are you disking?
Am I what? Start disking yet? Yes and no. What I'm doing is I've gone out to a couple of events, and in my head, I'm assessing, if that makes sense. Haven't done it with any clients as yet, but I'm looking forward to doing that shortly. How about you?
I actually have been disking for 15 years plus, and I'm already certified, but I just thought I would take a refresher here, see what's new.
Mm-hmm. But that's always good to do. I'm sorry.
I'm certified with TTI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with CTI.
Oh, it's another big DISC program. They do many different assessments. DISC is only one of theirs. They do all kinds of business assessments. And so it's actually Dave had mentioned it as one of the split offs with Carlson. Carlson was with TTI originally, and
right.
Carlson split off to create this company, and then TTI continues on. So.
Okay.
But my clients love it. Once they see it, and it's not that expensive to do, they really are astounded by how accurate it is.
Mhm. Yeah, it is. It's very accurate. As a matter of fact, I had back in September had taken an assessment through with Anthony Robbins.
Oh, sure.
And they offered it as an intro to one of their classes. I didn't take the class, but I did the assessment. And it's so funny how these two are so aligned in terms of the response. You know, I'm a high I there, and I'm a high I here. And where I am low, it shows exactly the same. So they don't lie.
Quite remarkable, yeah. Yeah, it's, I think you continue to answer questions in a similar way. I mean, you don't change that much unless something really happens. So I think it's, in a way, it's astounding to see the same or a write-up or narrative that describes you, but I also think that, you know, if you take it multiple times, you continue to answer the similar ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've taken it, but it's been years where I took it for preparing for hire for a job.
Ah.
But it's been a while, and...
Mm-hmm.
And so this is nice to do it here, and having only done it a few months ago, I say about 6 months ago with Anthony Robbins, I didn't recall the results that I had. And to see this, I went back to those reports, and it was very interesting. I much prefer this particular report, but it's nice to see the comparison.
Yeah, everyone has a little bit of a different approach. I liked the write-up on this one a little bit more than I did the TTI, although there's some parts of TTI that I really liked. And the interesting thing that TTI does is not only do they give you your DISC report and your profile, your graphs are a little bit different. They do a wheel, and it shows where you are in the wheel between your natural and an adapted style, and you can tell if that person is kind of consistent or how inconsistent they are. We don't do the third graph. We feel there's not a lot of validity for it. So it's an interesting perspective on the empiricism of DISC, but TTI does not does not offer a third graph. They dropped the graph because they didn't think it was empirically sound. So what we also do is motivation. So we have six universal values, and we show the values. This is the what, and the values are the why. So you have something to kind of play off of why a person would have a profile different in their workplace than they would from their natural style, and why that might be because of their values.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So you get more combinations and permutations of how people do things and why they do them. So I think there's some interesting reasoning there. And, you know, the client's always interested in more about, sometimes they don't even know what the why.
Yeah.
Or the what, for that matter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's fascinating.
It is. It really is.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Hi, I'm in the city of Atlanta tonight. They call Hotlanta, and it's cold outside. So I had a heavier jacket with me. I go for a walk, and it's too cold to go for a walk.
Every time spring tries to come in, winter just pushes it right back out.
It does seem that way. I mean, today it was chilly here. It was 70 degrees in Denver right before I left. So, you know,
Well,
it's kind of necessary someplace. The global warming.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's Christina here.
Woo!
And Kathleen. How about Angela?
I'm here.
Very good. And Susan.
I am here.
I think I heard Bob, right?
Yes, present for duty.
And Beth.
Yes, here.
Very good. And Denise. Oh, Denise. How about Michael?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. And Yolanda.
Yes, sir. Make presence.
And Glenn Baskin of Hawaii.
That's exactly what I'm doing right now. Thank you very much.
And Jonathan. And Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
And Wendy.
Wendy's here.
And Donna. And Felicity.
Hello, I'm here.
There she is. And Ruth.
I'm here.
Very good. So it looks like I'm missing Kathleen and Denise and Jonathan and Donna. Okay. Well, we will just have to roll out and they'll miss all the best stuff here tonight, that means. So this is our session 5. And we're going to spend more time tonight on those combination styles we talked about before. We've got some background noise out there. If you're in kind of a noisy area, could you just put us on mute? Okay. Let's see. Any burning questions we have from our last session together that you guys want to ask about? No burning questions? We're all knowledgeable about this. All right, well, let's take our quick quiz. So we're going to do the Who Said It quiz. Who said, I want to go where everybody knows my name?
Norm.
Norm. Norm is correct. That's the right answer, yes. Theme song from this TV show Cheers from years ago. But in this terminology, who would that be?
I say an S.
I said an S.
Yeah. It could be I or S. More likely S than I, because the I would say, I'm going to go where everybody's going to know my name. Yes, with the familiarity, everybody already does know my name. I'm normal. I'm a couple of my surroundings, everyone knows me. That's where I'm happiest. All right. So who would say, you say a lot of background noise. Am I hearing it just me, or is it others hearing it as well?
I'm okay.
No one else hears it? Okay. All right. Don't let's say to hear it. If there's background noise, you don't hear it, it's probably you.
Everybody needs to come back one at a time.
All right, so who would say, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts?
C.
That would be a C.
C. E. That would be a C. Yeah, the case of the TV show Dragnet, you're right. Who would say, ready, fire, Abe?
D.
D. That would be the D, exactly. Who would say, there is no crime in dressing poor? Or say, there is no crime in being poor, only in dressing poorly.
I.
I.
That is indeed the high I. Okay. Who knows what film that one's from? Anybody know what film that's from?
All-time
favorites.
Yeah.
George Hamilton in Zorro, the Gay Blade. Worth the watch, believe me. Okay, who would say that's close enough for government work?
D-I.
D. We're all across the board. No one said C. Because it's definitely not a C. That's most likely the D saying, okay, it's done. It's not like it's close. It's good enough. Let's move on. All right. Who would say, family isn't about whose blood you have. It's who you care about.
That's an S.
Yeah, that one is definitely a high S. Definitely a high S. All right, how about if you want something done right, you have to do it yourself.
That's my mom.
D.
That's a C.
That's a high C. Say, it's got to be right. I have to do it because only I. You're going to be able to get it right. And here's an easy one for you. Who would say, I'm just so excited.
An I. I.
That is indeed the high I. Very good. All right. Let's do a quick review of our last session together. We started talking about the style combinations. And who can tell what the big message was that came through in that discussion about style combinations?
Say that again, Dave. It's hard for me to understand you.
Is it hard for you to understand on this?
Yeah, for me too. Yeah, you sound a little muffled.
Okay, I'm going to change my phone here. Hang on 1 second.
No worries. Is this any better for you guys? Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the big message, though, we talked about in terms of the importance of style combinations. Who knows what that big message really is?
That if you don't take the time to identify the full, all the patterns, you don't really have the full picture.
we could go off in a wrong direction.
Very good. And why did they go off in the wrong direction, you think?
Not enough information. So then they might read one way, but if you really take the time to look at their patterns, there may be a heavy influence of something else, and you could read it wrong.
All right. Very good. Good. Other thoughts?
Most people are more than one style. They're usually two.
Okay. There's one big lesson. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think that, you know, it's very situational, even though those are general tendencies or dominant ones, versus where it's home, where it's in family, where it's at leisure with a friend, or at work. You know, I think looking at the full person a little bit and then understanding the situation they're in, it I think helps.
Yeah, because you might see different tendencies take over at different times in that person's life. Absolutely true.
Good point.
One more big lesson you guys want to make sure you get from that discussion.
This is Beth. I would say if you're acting as if the person was a C and you're adapting your own behavior according to only one style, then you might be doing the very thing that's going to irritate them.
I saw that example firsthand, didn't we, last week? We talked about that. Yeah.
So if someone has all four, it usually indicates there's something wrong.
If we go into those overshift, undershift patterns where they're very close or all four above midpoint, probably
right.
Not going to be a good profile to review. Probably going to be something wrong with the way it was, either way it was administered or the timing of it for that person.
Right.
Yeah. So the other big lesson that you have to make sure you understand here is that sometimes it's not really obvious how the two styles play together. We're going to see more of that actually in our discussions here tonight. Sometimes they think, yeah, well, they're these two together, therefore they'll act this way with those two, and sometimes it doesn't quite pan out that way. So keep in mind that the classical patterns are accounting for all those bullet points that are above the midpoint. If you look at your graph on page 3 of your chart, see a blue area in the middle? It's things that are in there or above that are accounted for in the classical patterns. We're going to focus on one style. Yes, we have a lot of background noise, right? Just me hearing that?
You're still sounding a little muffled to me. I don't know if it's my phone.
I hear papers shuffling.
Yeah, I think I hear too. Either paper shuffling or person moved around too much. There's that kind of background going on.
Hmm.
Okay, it's quiet now.
This is Yolanda. I did unmute just to see and just to be sure that it wasn't me, and I was on mute as you guys were saying that. So. If everybody might want to do that just to check their line.
Yeah, I'm going to close one of my doors here. Thanks.
Okay. All right. So, again, it's not always how styles combine together. And if you focus on just one style that you see out there, you could be really missing things substantially, and that causes problems for you. So we talked about the irregular patterns, the overshift, which is where all four points are at or above the midpoint. The undershift pattern, where all four at or below the midpoint, or the tight, all four surrounding the midpoint. And in those cases, all three of those are likely invalid profiles. Okay.
Dave, where is that
yeah.
located? Where is that located in the Disc Coaching Catalyst book? To find it.
I can't tell off the top of my head, so I can check it out and find out where it's in there, but hope it's in there. Better be in there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know we talked about it last time. I saw it in some of your handouts, but I'm just not seeing it. And I could be wrong because I'm in the part about style combinations now. I'm checking that section. I just don't find the discussion above the midpoint below.
I'll check that out to make sure it's from there. Yes, Kathleen.
Yeah, this is Kathleen. I don't remember seeing it either. I just remember, you know, listening, being in the class, and then also listening to the recording.
Okay, I'll check on that to make sure. It should be in there, but that's an important factor because when you get a profile like that, you want to make sure that you don't take too much account into that. It's probably going to be an incorrect profile. You don't want to base your analysis on that profile if it's overshift, undershift, or tucked. It's best to wait 2 weeks or a few months and then try it again.
If I may, this is Yolanda. I just found it. Okay. That would be page 23.
It's also on page 101. 101 also has the style combination.
Awesome.
Yeah, 101 talks about style combinations, but I don't want to detract from it. But it really doesn't go into detail anything in detail about being above or below that midpoint for everything. So under or over, it just talks about.
Here we go. The patterns aren't discussed. Okay, I'll verify that. Okay.
I have one other question, but I don't know if it's. I can save it till the end. So,
Well, go ahead and ask. Right, the topic here is go ahead and ask it now.
It's around the classical style pattern. And then I'm going through the book and trying to fill in some of the blanks, as kind of worksheets to give you for thought and stuff. On page 104 in the book, they have a challenge. They give you some challenges. So here's the challenge. Identifying 5 classic style patterns, and then, I go over to my profile, and then I look at disk dimensions, and I go to page 15 of my profile, and it's really not talking about me, it's talking about, it's giving examples of the classic profile patterns. But man, I'm seeing there's a lot of classic profile patterns here, so I'd just like to know from you, what are the ones that you see that are most common?
Well, the ones that are, I'll tell you, the ones that are least common first, because ones that are least common are going to be the ones that are opposites. So the D and the S pattern is fairly uncommon. The I and the C is fairly uncommon. The others are really happen all the time. And I wouldn't put percentages on them, saying how often they're going to happen. But they're all very common except for the opposites like that. And we're going to discuss one more tonight that's pretty uncommon. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But other than that, they are very common to have the patterns together. Okay, so I don't know what percentages are. There's not been any studies I've done on that. But these are the ones that are going to be the ones that are least common. All right. So let's talk here about the creative pattern. Now, as you guys all know, the creative pattern is the very best pattern you can possibly have, right?
Because it's yours.
Because it's mine. It's very good. See, you figured that out right away because it's mine. Yeah. So I jest about that, obviously. It is, it's actually known as a pattern that can be difficult to deal with. And why would that be, do you think?
Different leading styles. You might, present, like your example last week where you were saying you're a D and a C, so if we talk to the C might not keep up, but if we talk to the D might be irritated.
Okay, good. That's a good problem. That's a justice of where these things play together. What else can make the D and the C hard to deal with, though?
They don't always communicate well.
Because?
The C can be reserved, and the D is so busy driving they don't bother to talk. I happen to be a DNSC.
And they're both of those styles are primarily focused on task versus people, so they're not as in mm-hmm. tune to the people stuff.
Yeah, that's the biggest single problem with that DC pattern, is that it doesn't tend to focus on the people side. Again, mm-hmm. this is behavioral, not a psychological profile. So you may love people, but the way you behave doesn't take people into account enough. You're thinking about them, but you're not behaving that way. And people don't always see how much you really care about them.
You're always focused on the goal.
Yeah. Am I doing? Am I getting the result I want to get? Am I getting it done right? And so, you know, I would tell you that as a DC myself, I focus quite a bit on, am I talking to the human being?
Mm-hmm.
When I write emails, I often write an email, and I'll say, you know, hi, John, and then I will state the topic, what I'm talking about, I'll give the answer, and then I go back and say, okay, now, let's start with, so, John, how have you been? By the way, how are the wife and kids? And it was great seeing you at the thing last week, and because that's not what I do first. I always tend to do the task first and get the response, and then I go, oh, have a back, add the human factor into this.
So it sounds like the high D would just do a cut and paste.
Yeah, a lot of cut and paste, a lot of here's the, you know, what's the answer? 42. And not giving the time to deal with the individual. I would tell you that a DC behavioral style has to be careful with relationships, including kids and spouses, to make sure they really appreciate and talk about the human side of that behavior. Now, if you look at the creative pattern in your classical profiles, so page 15 of your profile book.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading it, yeah.
Yeah, it says the emotions, listen to that, D, accepts aggression. Wow. Restrains expression. That does not sound like a D to me, does it? Like, sound like a D to you? That's
not
a D out there really kind of grappling with things.
I guess what I have a hard time seeing here is I can see where the D is definitely can be the creative side of things. You know, moving forward, let's try this. Let's go with it. See how it works. Come back later. You guys verify the numbers. I want to see if it's going to work or not. Matter of fact, I got five different ways I want you to try to see if it works. But I don't see how a C ties in with anything to do with creativity. I mean, I look at the C's that I've worked with. They're people that are so detail-oriented. They're so tied down in the details, there's no way they can get their head out to look other directions to be creative.
Okay. So the other creatives on the call, would you like to respond to that? Or not?
Were you asking me to respond to it?
Any other creatives on the call? Any other DCs on the call would like to respond to that, the creative aspect of the DC?
I'm very creative. Go ahead.
This is Felicity. I think that they're creative because it's all internal for them, right? They're not people, they're not involved in the human aspect. They're very much about the task, and so they rely on themselves to come up with solutions to problems, and it brings out a creative aspect in them, but they're not like artsy creative, but I actually my mom is this pattern, and she can come up with some really creative ideas, but she can't talk to you in a relational type way effectively.
Would another word for creative be resourceful?
I can see that.
I would tell you that I'm creative, but my creativity is as much built on the ideas of others as it is on my own. So my me and my C combine to accept others' ideas, which the D was allowed to do, but not the C, but then build on those things different directions. So my business partner and I working together, we oftentimes would brainstorm because we had some of the wackiest ideas come out of our brainstorming because something she would say was percolating inside of me that would sound bizarre at first, then go, wait a minute, there's something in there.
Okay.
So remember the D is okay not being correct. They'll just go on and change things. The C wants things to be correct, so the C built upon the logic of someone else, takes off a different direction, D's okay with that, and they combine together to generate a creativity that you wouldn't find in the D or the C by themselves.
And I think the D has to be higher than the C.
Yeah, yeah. The pattern you see in the book here, they're very close together. That's
yeah.
generally true, but it can be a little higher C than D, a little higher D than C, which also means two people can have a creative pattern, be sitting side by side, you'd say, wow, they're very different, though. Yeah, one's more controlled by the C, one's more controlled by the D.
Yeah, I guess what would help me is if I get some feedback is the higher the C and the lower the D, the lower the creativity.
I would suspect that being true because the C would force on order versus creativity.
Okay.
And
I'm a high.
Can you compartmentalize? Can you compartmentalize the C and say, put the C aside for now. Let's play with the D for a while on this topic and discussion.
I think this combination will look at SWOT and take the T, the threat, and turn it into an opportunity.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think as a high I, if I may, I'm a songwriter, and I write a lot of poetry and things like that. So I think when we're looking at creativity, it's different type of creativity. As you were saying, someone said about the artistic side. I think the eyes are more artistic in that sense, whereas when we're talking about creativity with the D and the D and C is that it's more of a how to conquer something.
That's true. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
Like a creative approach. I'm not going... commercial photographer I was for years, and then I became a stockbroker, and I'm a high D and a C. So I've been trained in the arts. I'm not musical at all. But I put things together very well, and I see patterns very well. And then I take the risk to do it.
Hmm.
So, of course, you mentioned photography. You mentioned the arts. People who have studied music understand that music is really, in many ways, math.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same with photography.
Yeah. Yeah, because of all the different aspects that go into creating the right picture, the right aperture, the right focus, the right amount of light, et cetera, I don't know the right words to use, but the detail.
And then go into the dark room. Yeah, it's tremendous
yeah.
detail. But at the same time, you have to see the big picture, not just the details. You have to see both.
And there's where the D plays in so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, not to tell a lot of stories about ourselves, but look at the overuses on the creative pattern. Bluntness, critical or condescending attitude. Now, I know it's not true for me, but some of you guys may have that problem.
I can have, look at Barbara Streisand. I think she must be a high D and C.
That would be a good example, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear of the DC, a lack of influence, failure to achieve their standards, not to achieve the goal, but to achieve the standards. So you see the C coming into play there very heavily. So if you were coaching someone who is a DC, what would you worry about the most? What would you try and do with them?
I think what side they were on, for me, would be the challenge. So, like, you know, they go back and forth, I suppose. And for me, not being at this combination, I don't know that I would pick it up so well. Like, when they're dominating with one side or the other. Or I don't know.
I like things to move quickly.
And that's what the D wants on the DC. And the C wants them to go correctly.
Be sure, correctly. I want both.
Yeah. So the question becomes, when you're coaching someone, where are they right now? Are they D-dominated right now, or are they C-dominated right now?
Right.
And can I, as a coach, adapt myself to what they need in my questions? Now, the other big challenge with the DC, of course, is the fact we mentioned earlier that people's side is not there. So you may have to ask them, tell me about how it's going to impact others.
Mm-hmm.
How will this person react to this when you're talking to them? You know, they're going to want to sit there and deal with the problem directly. Is that what the person you're talking to? Do they need to have it directly? Or is that an S or an I who's going to need that to be softened before you deal with that issue with them?
I see that as like such a, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I see that as such a blind spot, but I don't know how, if you could even keep their attention with that. You know what I mean? How would you even get them interested in that?
So
I think by asking that question.
Okay.
What you just said, Dave.
Yeah. And the thing is, they came to you for coaching because they realized something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to a DC on the street, that's what's got a question. They might go, who cares? But they're with you for coaching. They're there because they realize something is missing. They want to try and make it better. Therefore, they'll be more open to the idea.
Okay.
It's a pattern very common with executives, by the way.
That's right. I was just going to say that. There is. And wait, that's what... I coach a lot of executives, and I will tell you that as soon as that they begin to see that there aren't people behind them as they're walking, that fear level is a high motivator to for, oh my God, what am I going to do? How do I fix this?
Yeah. And what did John Maxwell say about leadership? If you think you're leading and no one's following, you're just out taking a walk.
Yep.
And that's the problem that DC is going to have. They're trying to lead. They want to lead. Look back, and there's no one behind them. Oops, what did I do here? I forgot the connection. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about the counselor pattern. The counselor pattern you're going to find, on page 16 of your this profile,
okay.
You can see it's an I with a secondary S. So this is all on the people side of the chart and lacks the task orientation of the D's and the C's. Okay? So if you look at the emotion, they're approachable. Wow, that makes sense, right, doesn't it? Showing affection, absolutely, understanding. There's that whole people side showing up right there for them. Okay? Look at overuses. The indirect approach and tolerance. So this is the challenge you have with people who are on that whole people side. they are so afraid of offending someone, making someone feel bad, that they don't communicate the issues, you know, clearly, if you will, and people don't understand there's really a problem. So with counselors, you'll have people there you're talking to who say, I can't get through so-and-so's head. This is a challenge. Have you told them? Yes, I have. Absolutely, I told them directly to their face. Well, directly to them is something very different. So the I and the F pattern is almost constant because they're good listeners and they're good at counseling, but they can be so indirect it can cause problems. Look at the under pressure. Becomes overly flexible. Too trusting. You know folks, you know folks like this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So while the D and the C pattern is all about the task, the I and the S is all about the people. And they kind of forget the task side. And they're so bending and so willing to yield and so caring, they may forget about the accountability factors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I hear that.
Yeah. So if you look at the that paragraph on the right-hand side column, that first paragraph, counselors are particularly effective in solving people problems. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because they're on the people side of the discussion. They're going to listen. That's going to help them listen more than just the I would. They impress others with their warmth, empathy, and understanding. That's the S influence, clearly, versus the I, who is going to be more focused on themselves. Their optimism is a high I for you. It's easy to look out for the good in others. So you can see how the I plays in here very heavily, but the S helps counterbalance it to kind of drawing it back a little bit to make it much more useful, but still lacking the, if you will, the drive of the D or the C to get the tasks done as well. So on both the DC side and the IS side, you have inherent challenges of the lack of balance in the human being. And so while the D and the C focus on the task and forgets the human side, the counselor may focus on the human side and forget the task side.
Yep.
Okay. Do there any counselors on the call here tonight? No counselors?
Yes, mine is Mike. Carrie, then I have a counselor pattern.
Okay. And as you read this, Carrie, does it resonate with you?
Yeah, especially the being too trusting and becoming overly flexible under pressure. You know, it's yes, that resonate clearly.
Yeah. And so how do you counterbalance that in your day-to-day life?
Avoiding pressure. You know, structuring it so that there's not, you know, not the pressure. And then looking for evidence. You know, not like being super critical or looking for, you know, nitpicky, but keeping track of the evidence. What is the evidence that I can trust this employee to do his task or her task? You know, and I always come from the point of view, like I used to teach school too. You know, every student can succeed until you prove to me that you can't. Well, when you can't succeed, let's figure out what's holding you behind. So it's a more optimistic and hopeful way to approach your employees or your students. But you also have to have buy-in from your students or your employees. Because if you don't, they're going to just walk all over you. You know, as you give them more chances, or, you know, move the deadline back or whatever. You know, you have to have a little bit of a firm edge. The other thing that really helps me as a counselor is having someone assist with priority setting. Like, you know, I used to have D bosses that when I would go in and I'd say, okay, for these 10 tasks, what's the priority? And they'd say, it's all the priority. And for a D, that makes sense. But for a counselor, it's like, now I'm paralyzed. So having somebody that can help with that, you've got to have somebody on your team that can help you do that.
Yeah. So counselors are very effective when the challenge is neither if it's a business in the organization or if it's a home life, the family at home, when the issues are not, when the issues are related to the human side, counselors are very effective. If it's problems are on the task side, then they're not going to be as effective. So, to me, the example I have very clearly is, you know, in the business world, this department's underperforming, and they're way behind in their metrics, and they're not very effective, and they don't know what they're doing. You know, I want a DC in there to help kind of drive things through. If the problem is they really feel like they've been beaten, they feel like they've been abused, they feel like no one cares about them, that's why they're underperforming, I want to bring a counselor pattern in there to kind of show them the love and build the teamwork and build the know that we care about them so that they can be more effective. Not surprising that oftentimes people like DCs are called in to fix areas that are underperforming, and then when they begin to perform better, the DC is removed and a counselor is brought in or something like that to fall behind them to add the human side to the equation. So, question about the counselor before we move on to the next one here, the achiever. All right. So, the achiever is unique because it is a pattern that is an S and a D together. And those two, of course, are opposites. The achiever's on page 15 of the your disc profile. So here the emotion is industrious. An S is industrious, really? Wow. Diligent? Displays frustration. So even though the S is going to be higher than the D, you see D parts play that are very clearly in this pattern. They input on this by accountability. Wow. That's definitely not an S. Even though the S is higher on the profile, that's definitely the D playing through. They're counterbalancing that S. Overuses reliance on self. Really? An S again? Absorption in a task. So the message here on this S and D pattern together is that if you talk to someone who's got this pattern, you may very clearly see the S coming through and say, yeah, they're nice and they're friendly, and don't we like them? Aren't they a great person to be around? But if you get into the business side of it, or again, business, whether it be at work or at home, the past side at home, you see a much stronger D than you anticipated. This causes confusion sometimes for people who are around them who don't really understand how these two things play together. And I think I mentioned this to you guys last week as well with the I and the C. The person themselves may feel like something's wrong with them because they feel a contradiction inside themselves between a task side and a human side. And oftentimes, showing someone this pattern, if it's theirs, let them read about it so they know that it's a, quote, normal standard behavior, that alone makes them feel better. So what I oftentimes do when I'm working with groups of people in an organization, I'll watch for this pattern in the profiles and single this person out to talk to on the side about their style. If we release the results to them, they can see what it is. Next time there's a break, which is shortly after that, I go up to that person and say, let's talk about your pattern for a minute here. How do you feel about this? And you'll hear that relief. Oh, I feel so much better. I was so concerned. So I encourage you, as you begin to work with people and look at their patterns, to think about how it's impacting them. It can be impacting what they do on a day-to-day basis. In this case here, the S and the D, or the I and the C together, they may feel schizophrenic. And they're not. They're fine. But they feel funny that way. Look at the, again, at that upper right-hand paragraph on the achiever pattern. Motivation is largely internal and flows from deeply felt personal goals. The commitment to their own goals precludes an automatic acceptance of the group's goals. Wow. With an S, you think they would already have embraced the group's goals. But here it is, they're more focused on their own goals first. Achievers need to see how they blend them with their personal goals with organizational goals. So that's often an issue for coaching in an organization, is someone who's has this pattern and says, I get the group goals, what about my stuff? Helping them see how those things play together can be an effective way to make that person become more a part of the team, but then with the team better, to make the team more successful.
Dave, this is Yolanda. Can I ask, why is it that if the D is lower, it shows up so much more? Is it that D and C are more prominent behaviors?
Well, the D and the I, don't forget, are very active behavioral styles. So even though it may be lower, it has a tendency to surface more.
Thank you.
And the S, by definition, tend to be rather restrained that way. So S is being held back. The D wants to come forth.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. So, would this person be a good leader in an organization?
Yeah, they could be.
Okay.
I would say
tell
so.
Me about that.
Well, I'd say they could be because they're industrious and diligent. The problem is, since they rely so much on themselves, they may not know how to lead the team. They don't turn around and realize there's a group with them. They're part of a team. So they probably need someone strong on the team that they listen to, that could point out some of that stuff to them. I work with someone like this. And she is a good leader in that she's diligent and that, but she will take back certain things. Like if you came to do a task and you're not doing it the way she thinks it should be done, she'll take it back. And when you try to explain your approach, it's not hers, so it's not right.
That's
a little frustrating. It's a little frustrating.
Yeah.
I agree. I also worked with someone who was the achiever pattern, and what I found was that one of her concerns in dealing with others was that everything that somebody else might have done that wasn't good or was lacking in some way for them was a reflection of them. So I see in the second paragraph where it says, I want the credit or I will take the blame, and she would take the blame, and therefore find some bridges in the process. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So remember back, we talked about the D, the I, the S, and the C way back in sessions 2 and 3, which seems like months ago. But recall we talked about the fact, we said, here is the D at their best. Here is the D at their worst. Here is the I at their best. Here is the I at their worst. So with any of these patterns, can they be effective? Absolutely. To bring out the best in what they have to prepare to give to the rest of the team or to the relationship, if it's a thing at home, yes, they can be effective, they can be wonderful. But if they focus on the negative side, if you will, it becomes an impairment to getting things done. Now, a very common saying around DISC is that each of the styles, at least the combinations, have natural strengths. But any strength that is overused turns into a weakness. So with the achiever pattern or any pattern, they can use the strengths effectively the right way. It can be a wonderful pattern. If they overuse the strengths of that pattern, it turns into a negative. Okay, make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's go on to the perfectionist pattern. This is an important pattern. This is one you see a lot in business, by the way, the perfectionist pattern. It's a combination of the S and the C together. Okay? And now think about that. That's a task orientation, and it's a more thoughtful type person. There would appear to be no drive in that person, though, right? Because they lack the I or the D that makes them get things done. So the emotion here shows they display confidence, kind of expect, especially from a C, unrestrained and cautious. Well, yeah, that's what's going to show up because they have that more thoughtful, reserved behavioral style. Okay, and if we look at the overuses, procedures, I can believe that one, fail-safe controls. Okay, so let's pause there for a second, which you'll see with this kind of pattern that they'll be so worried, again, about making things that might go wrong. It's like the seed domination they're going to have in there, that they can be paralyzed sometimes. They choose the word perfectionist here very carefully because even more than a regular C, this one's going to be really worried about, could this be wrong? And how can I make sure it's never going to be wrong? But look at the second part of that statement on overuses. Overdependence on people, products, and processes that have worked in the past.
Hmm.
So you see that S in there in terms of, I don't like change. This worked before, it'll work again now, even though it may be very different now. So this pattern is out there, and it's fairly common in the business world. People who are, if you will, are doing the real work, given the direction to get things done, they're going to follow that direction. But there's not a whole lot of self-starter in these people. And it says they fear antagonism. So think about this. If they're not inclined to be aggressive on their own or self-starters, and their boss is that D who's going to drive them to get things done, so that whole set of conflicts are being built in between the driving D and the S who fears what they view as antagonism. So if you look at that right-hand paragraph, perfectionists are systematic, certainly.
precise thinkers? Oh, certainly. They follow procedures in both their personal and work lives. That's the high C, just really kind of driving through there. Extremely conscientious, they're diligent in work that requires attention to detail and accuracy. So this has the advantage of the high C, if you will, that detail, but it has a little softer side to it from the S. So not quite the high maniac C's, perhaps the C's might be, but it's softened a bit by that S out there. So they're a little more personable, a little more friendly, but still can be trusted to get things done and done correctly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have saved the best for last.
Mm-hmm.
The last one on our sheet here to look at is the practitioner pattern. And look at that one. It's one of the ones Harry have here that have actually three above midpoint. And note that the C is the highest and the D is the lowest. All right? But look at the emotion of the practitioner. Wants to keep up with others and effort and technical performance. Huh. That sounds kind of competitive to me, doesn't it? Value the organization. Skilled in technical and people problem solving. All right. Well, technical comes from that C. People problem solving comes from the I. That sounds really good. To stay for efficiency and specialization. You can see that C coming through there and say, that really makes a lot of sense. And they fear predictability, recognition as an expert. Well, a C doesn't want to get recognized. I mean, they're an expert, but they don't need the attention. They don't want the attention. The I wants attention. The D wants attention. But the S and the C don't. So here's what makes the practitioner pattern unique. The C tends to make it a very task-oriented pattern. They want to get things done. They want to get things done right. The I gives them the drive, if you will, the high energy, to get more things done. And the S serves to balance a little bit to help make them a little less structured than the C would be. So oftentimes when you meet someone, you're talking to them, and they follow this practitioner pattern, they may at first glance appear to be a high D. You'll see the high energy, you'll see the high call to action, you'll see that tendency to get things done, and you know, they're very clearly a D, and they're not. This is a case where you have to be very careful with someone when you see this pattern to go, wow, how do I deal with all three of these styles together? Because their drive really does not come from the typical D drive, although it appears that way. So of all the coaching patterns, this is the most difficult. Because you want to sit there and say, ah, they're task-driven, I'll treat them like a D, but they're not a D. There's a whole bunch of I and S in there. They want to be recognized for who they are as human beings. They want to be recognized and deal with the human side as opposed to the task side. So it can be very, very confusing that way. I tell you, in my early days of doing DISC, I've only seen this pattern show about 8 or 9 times in the last 10 years. But it showed up 3 times in my first 2 years of doing DISC.
And in all those cases, I was convinced they were a D. So I got the report and went, wow, it's not a D, really? And I learned to listen for their speech patterns. And once they talked about people as opposed to tasks. And the driving was still there, but there was an emphasis on the people around it. And maybe say, aha, that's not really a D. It's a highly active C, S combined. And there's the IS, the C, IS practitioner pattern. So this one is tricky. This is why I oftentimes tell you, I even to myself, I can start to get the pattern down, but sometimes I get to report and I go, wow, I'm fooled, because I missed this. So it's the hardest one to get right with someone when you see them in action, because you're so convinced they're a D, and they're not. Treat them like a D, and you miss all that human side, they're going to be very unhappy with you.
And the funny thing is that looking at the graph, D is the thing that they're farthest from.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I say, if you think they're a D, treat them like that, and they are deeply offended personally. So how do you coach someone who is this practitioner pattern?
I guess you want to take a look at what their relationships are, and how that plays into their goals. You know, what is, if they're having a difficulty achieving the goals, who can help them? Who is their support?
Yeah, because the people side is very important to them. You can't forget that. You're talking about what to get things done, because you want to think they want to get things done, because that's what's the drive to get things done. But you got to remember to coach the human side, because that's what they really care about. Those companies stay in focus on the fact that they're not the high D. They are the human side with high I and high S. Listen for that high I, high S. Listen for the C blending in. Allow them to get things done while still caring about the people around them. This one's got to be, I think, I mean, this is tough to deal with in the workplace. At home, especially even tougher to deal with people at home who are this pattern. Because you're never quite sure where to deal with them. So, on that note, we're going to let you guys ponder that one overnight. That pattern is one that's particularly challenging. It really is. But, again, can be very effective as leaders. Sure, they got the drive of the high D, if you will, that comes from the I and the C combining, and the people side, so they can really care. As long as people around them realize how much they care, they can be very effective. All right?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So tomorrow we're going to have our last session together. We're going to focus on a couple different things, including, you know, how to administer DISC. We're going to discuss actually how we create, you can create profiles by hand. I say I do a lot of that. We'll talk about how to get profiles for yourself if you want to use them with your clients. And a little bit about the exam coming up as well. All right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you guys all same time tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you.